Mana, Maloni, Malo Elelei, Salofa Lava, Nissan Pulvinaka, Pakalofa Lahiat.
Tama Pacifica Health.
Welcome to all our listeners tuned in to Te Ama Pacifica Health Radio and all to those, and also to those listening in over the internet. Our purpose is to raise awareness and the important role community services, healthcare services have within our Pacific communities and also to promote the well-being of Pacific people. Each week you'll hear interviews with our very special studio guests giving advice on health, education, employment, and other support services that encourage wellness and foster healthy, happy lives for Pacific people, family and friends within New Zealand and across the South Pacific.
And for this morning, we are fortunate and blessed to have Samuel Lusefuiva, owner and partner at Samuel Lusefuiva Consulting, New Zealand Public Policy. But as we do, firstly, we acknowledge God, our Heavenly Father, for his gift of life and the many blessings that he has bestowed upon each and every one of us. Mai mō mō lava ona tātou whātasi, si ili whaafitaili ta mai le langi, ona olo nā lofa māna whaamanuiangai tele mō e tātou umma lava taito tasi. O le mea lea, o la amatai, nai la tātou pokalame, ili te talo, tātou te talo.
God, grant me this serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
We cry for peace. Peace. Heavenly peace. Lord, we cry for peace in the South Pacific. Talk aloud of Kiribati, Samoa.
Talo falava nisam bulavinaka to all our beautiful listeners this beautiful morning. Te Ama Pacifica Health Radio Show. We have with us right here in the studio Samuel Usefuiva as our very special guest speaker this morning. Samuel Usefuiva, owner and partner at Samuel Usefuiva Consulting, New Zealand Public Policy. He has a strong professional and personal interest in the Pacific region, particularly in human rights, social enterprise and public policy. In the studio this morning, we welcome you, Sam, to Te Ama Pacifica Radio Show. Talo falava, malo le soifua, malelangi mamai, lau susunga Samuelu.
Yeah, malo.
For the sake of our listeners, Samuelu, this morning, it is so lovely to see you again after a long time. You still look young and fit, and you must have been into sports or something while you were at school anyway until now. What's the secret?
My background is actually in phys ed, and so that's my early training has been in as a major in my learning, and it moved into recreation planning and environmental planning, and then I got involved in a whole lot of other things after that. But yeah, it's been around health, and do I feel healthy? No, I don't. I'm a 60 plus year old who's who's caught up as part of the statistics of for most of our, certainly our men, any rate, where we've got to deal with things like diabetes type 2, which is a major issue, obesity, which is another one. So we've got to really look after ourselves, things like prostate cancer and all of that. So, you know, as much as there's a high focus on our young people and our women folk, there's very little being placed on our men folk to get their act together and to, you know, be honest with themselves. If they want to be, you know, contributors to their family and their loved ones, then they better get fit.
Yes.
Sam, yeah, you know, that's some great advice, and we hardly ever, you know, hear the men's health issue being pushed. Not hardly ever, but it's almost like it does take a back seat to some of the other issues that do come up. Now, look, I just wanted to ask you about some of the organisations you're involved with. Look, there's so many, but I did want to touch on a few. The first, just to, I guess, segue from your PE background, Black Grace, the dance company that's been around for 20-plus years.
Yep, 20 years. 20 years last year.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And that's the founder, is it Neil Eremia?
Yep.
And what's your relationship there? How long have you been involved with
Black Grace? I've been mentoring Neil for a number of years.
Yes.
And so the trust itself is made up of myself, Bernice Mene and Hayden Wong from, and so the three of us bring to the table our particular and quite specific skills either in business, and also in running a social enterprise, which is what it is.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of people realise that Black Grace Dance is a, it's one of New Zealand's foremost dance companies. It spends most of its time
overseas.
Mm. Yep. But it's also one of the half dozen national arts companies that's actually solvent most of the time. Mm-hmm. People that are out, you know, other organisations are out trying to raise funds and things like that. One of the things that Black Grace has moved into is presenting their work at such a high level, and it's respected internationally as a dance company.
Yes.
But also here in New Zealand. And it draws its whole ethos on our heritage as Pacific people, our creativity as Pacific people, and what we're grounded in. So we're guided by our spiritual base, our heritage of the land and the sea, and more importantly, exuberance and our ability to convey through our culture issues that are important to us today.
And this, you know, drawing on all of that, the troupe and the show does so well internationally that they must be, touching some common chord across all cultures and peoples. That must be the reason they're received so well.
It's all about being authentic. No disrespect to other performance organisations, but we're a contemporary dance company, and that's what we do. We're not a dance company that goes out and does seva, or the more customary forms of performance.
Yes,
but we use that as a platform, of which both from the indigenous communities here, like Maori, but also from the Pacific, which are our roots, certainly from Samoa and Tonga.
Look, you touched on a couple of points, mentoring and governance, but, we can talk a little bit about the governance later, which I think is really important, especially for anyone involved in a social enterprise or not-for-profit. But mentoring, tell me a little bit more about this. Do people get in touch with you, or is it are people passed along to you? How do you get involved?
I don't advertise. Basically, it's from the work that I've done in the past. So I would be organising, working with CEOs mainly, with large organisations both here, Australia, and in the Pacific. So a lot of the work that I do is certainly around that whole area of human rights and business, and also looking at organisations who are set up to work with our people to be able to, for them to really add value and not just be a burden.
Human rights, I'm just looking at your profile. You're a former New Zealand Human Rights Commission principal advisor. Tell us a little bit about that, because there's the intersection between human rights and business is something that I think, maybe we're having trouble with at the moment. Your past experience working for the Human Rights Commission, tell us a little bit about that.
The work that I did there was to lead race relations. So it was around race relations and discrimination. Mm. I led a team, provided advice both here and internationally, around matters concerning race relations in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And there are some things that go on here that are quite unique compared to other countries. For example, we have through the Treaty of Waitangi, we have to do with Indigenous communities, around Indigenous people, to do with their development and their governance and sovereignty as individual populations, partners. But I think what people tend to do is they tend to look at what Māori are doing and they don't look at what they're supposed to be doing. So we don't look at ourselves in that.
As a treaty partner
That's right.
Partner.
And I think the other thing that I guess the challenge for Pacific people is that we're very much part and parcel of being quite an active treaty partner in one sense.
Mm.
But from a cultural perspective and heritage, we're connected to Māori and that they are as much a Pacific nations as we are, and we should be very much part and parcel in supporting what they're trying to achieve.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So that's what it.
Sam, I like what I see here, that you have an extensive and trusted network of influencers, opinion makers and decision makers contributing to the Pacific region's growing prosperity. I find this really, really interesting, Sam. Can you share a little bit more about that?
There was a comment by the head of state of Samoa to the women parliamentarians that gathered last week or a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about the importance of climate change, the importance of all the health issues that we're confronted with. There's a whole lot of things like that sure governments can look at. But I think what he was actually saying was that at the end of the day, we have to be authentic about making good decisions. We have to be open about making good policy, and being good governors of our countries.
Mm.
So the work that I do is working with those governments in terms of them being good governors, them being good parliamentarians that have been open and been a lot more assertive about their leadership. and taking their own constituents or their people along with them. And also making sense that, you know, they shouldn't be covering themselves up in a whole lot of words, that it should be government and governance should be about simple things.
I think that's advice for all governments, actually.
Some good guidance right there.
Thanks, Kristen.
Hey, look, you know, I wanted to come back to New Zealand for a moment.
Sure.
And just talk about Māori and Pacifica trade training. Tell us a bit about what your role is there and actually what the whole initiative is about.
Okay. My role there with Sir Peter Sharples, the two of us are called Mana Whakahaere, which means that we're the champion influencers at a higher level. So we work with the decision makers to bring about, to ease things up for the decision makers to get the resources to our people. Māori trades training many years ago started in the 40s and 50s. And the whole idea there was to look at the shift of rural Māori to the cities. And then as part of that, the Pacific. Now, it was run by a department called the Department of Māori and Island Affairs. Yeah. And part of the mandate there was to also take on board Pacific people who came from the islands and get them into a trade. And so they created an environment where the whole idea of continuing to work as a collective body, but learning together, socialising together, and achieving things, you know, their skills and all that work,
Brilliant. You
know, together. Now, that sort of died in the 1970s, well, actually in 1980s.
Yeah. Is this when, the industry started losing...
No, I think government decided that it should be operating elsewhere. And sadly, that was a really successful program.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about it all, though, was that it put a lot of people who came through that scheme, Māori and Pacific people, into business. It gave them skills, it gave them certainty, it gave them a whole range of things which we don't have today.
Yeah.
And so the problem we have today is that in New Zealand, while we have a low unemployment level, it's about 5.6%, our unemployment levels for Māori and Pacific people is running at about 17%.
Wow, so almost one in five.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy.
And a lot of them are young people.
Yes.
And the other interesting thing about it is that for many of our young people, they get turned off by school education by around the age of 12. And so we've got to capture many of our young people back into, one, the learning path, and two, the really strong possibility of them being active contributors to our community. Now, we've got a problem in New Zealand where, as you hear on the radio and television, that we need more houses and all that sort of stuff. Well, the problem about it is that we have a massive amount of jobs that are available and no one to fill. And so it's going to cost our economy a lot more to import labour, skilled labour, into the country. And we've got this massive group of people who've got no skills, no job, and they need to get into work. And so what the Māori and Pacific Trades Training Program is all about is to provide next to free training or learning through a whole range of things, polytechnics, industry training organisations, and straight through to employers where there's guaranteed work.
Wow. That'd be
and
incredible.
Their skills. So we're in the second year of doing that, and we've had a lot of success with the first group. We also, also industry's changed a lot. So, for example, the position of women in the industry is actually a positive. You know, we need to have more women engaged. So last month I was with a group of young women. I asked them, stupidly asked them, which school they went to, and they looked at me in a funny sort of a way, and they then said, oh, we actually... We went through the teen parenting program, which is they were teen mothers who, and their way out was actually getting a skill, getting a trade. Awesome. And so they're all chippies. They're all carpenters.
Oh, wow.
And they saw that as a stable way for their own family, exactly. immediate family. They've got a skill, it's transferable, they can get on and do things.
Well, it's skills they can take anywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not like law where you might be kind of stuck in the jurisdiction you trained in. You could take
You can do it everywhere.
Yeah.
The technology around things like mechanics and electricians and that requires the dexterity of a woman. Yeah. And it's probably the best way of putting it.
And this is the purpose of this program, is to let listeners know what is available,
yep.
the very information that you have just been given out, and so they can contact you.
They can contact...
Yeah. Is there a website?
Well, it's Māori and Pacific Trades Training.
Yeah.
So it's Google, a national program. You can Google that. But if you're in the Auckland area, you can go to MIT, Unitech, or Te Wānanga or Aotearoa.
Yes.
So, like, they're the three main polytechnics in New Zealand who, you know, that like large operators next to CPIT in Christchurch.
And training next to nothing. Is that just 16 to 19-year-olds, or is that extended out?
16 to 40.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
So it means that it gives a chance for our younger, our adult population who really, you know, missed out on the skill set to go back into adult apprenticeships.
Fantastic.
And they get straight into work. I mean, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're trained and then there's a undersupply of labour, so they're almost picked up straight away. Amazing.
Yeah, that is exciting.
Just make sure you're drug-free and you're can get out of bed
with every job. Look, just, you know, there's so many cool things you've done, Sam. I won't read them all, but there's one other thing. Robert Oliver, Robert Oliver, as some of the listeners may know, is a TV chef or real-life chef who's been on TV. Tell us your association or connection with Robert.
He's a business associate of mine.
Yes.
When we work together, the whole idea there is how do you bring the whole build up the confidence of Pacific communities or Pacific populations with so they can be proud of their own identity, take their stories with them, and the way you do that is through food.
Yeah.
And so what Rob did was that he wrote a number of books, of which a number of us were all contributors to. And the idea there is to that we all talk and we learn our history and stuff like that round the table or round the kitchen, or that we, you know, the exchange of food and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what this is all about is that it presents what you and I, or, you know, any one of us would are used to in terms of our usual food recipes and that, but actually gives it a lot more integrity by having it in top end restaurants and served up as cuisine of the highest order.
Yeah, because I often think my mum's the best cook in the world, but it, you know, without seeing what she cooks in, you know, I don't actually go to top restaurants, but you know, if that's not on the menu, I'd tend to think, well, maybe mum's cooking's not as good as you know, this the stuff that you see in the restaurants. Well, but actually,
when we talk about things like obesity and all that, we're talking about trying to fight processed foods. That's what we're talking about. So sugar, the McDonald's, the KFCs and all that. It's all, you know, all the various products that come out on the market. What we don't think about is that our own cooking has a much higher level of respect than that, and that we should be getting back into the foods that are actually will be the saviour of us, and that is, galore. You know, a breadfruit, a whole range of things,
bananas.
Which are actually, you know, which are actually good for us.
It's straight from the earth, not processed.
So it's from the garden to the table. So the whole idea there is to give some credibility to that cuisine, and then have that then, you know, put out there.
Yes. Sam, I'm just mindful of the time, and we really appreciate. Would you be willing to come back?
Happy to.
Well, to our beautiful listeners and audience. You have been listening to Samuelu Sefuiva. Is someone married with an adult family, a strong interest in the arts, sport, politics, human rights, Pacific heritage and history, and his eyeing whānau leadership and their well-being. Before you allow you to leave, what would you like your listeners to take, because they're happy and they're looking forward that you will be back? What would you like a message to take home with them from your presentation just now?
If you want to, it's a piece of inspiration I've taken from a group of young people in the UK that I've used to do quite a bit of work with. And it's the Citizenship Foundation, and that is, if you want to be an active person in your own economy, in your own country, and you want to see things change, you've got to actually turn up. You can't sit there in your lounge or wherever. You actually have to turn up and do something, and do it with people who can actually guide you. But more importantly, the change, the mindset change, is about turning up.
It's very true.
Thank you, Sam. On behalf of the sponsors of the show, East Tamaki Healthcare, we want to wish you an awesome day. Please say, give our love and respects to Penny, your wonderful wife, and yeah, we'll see you again very soon, Sam.
Cheers. Thanks, Jess. Thanks, Christina.
Mom.
Bakalevo and Fakalofalahiatu, Malo Elele, Talohani, Talofalava. Welcome back to Te Ama Pacifica Health Radio Show today. I can look out and see the wind is a little bit blowing, but it's quite warm. And you have been listening to Sam Sefweaver, has expertise in public policy, strategic thinking and business ethics, cultural and economic development, social enterprise, and leadership. He has professional and community experience in recreation and sport, community development, senior management in the public and not-for-profit sectors, and corporate social responsibility advice. Sam has led and directed a number of public and private sector startup initiatives over the last 25 years, tackling economic and social deprivation. And so, just following on from here, our guest speaker has to attend to another very important appointment. So we're looking forward for him to come back, and he will be back. But with our beautiful Christina Taefu and the good-looking Joseph Liaba'a and myself, the hard-working one here.
Lunch.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's all I was trying to say. And can we just continue talking about, I am quite interested about this training between the age of 16 to 40. MIT, Unitech, Te Wānanga or Aotearoa, that's where we need to look up and contact?
Yeah, look, I've just gone to the website. The website is www.MaoriPacifica, PASIFIKA, Trades. That's Māori Pacifica Trades, one word, .co.nz. Just to find out more about the Māori and Pacifica Trades training that Samuel was talking about, and it talks about the different training or tertiary providers that that are involved, and the fact that if you're between 16 and 40, you can sign up for this Māori and Pacifica Trades training. That, I mean, I think that's, we were just talking about it in the break, I think, people getting a trade, you know, and the potential to start their own business, you know, maybe the days of being an employee and just kind of doing what the boss says is over, and people need to kind of get out there and have their own business.
Yeah, I think this is such a fantastic opportunity. Mm-hmm. I mean, from 16 to 40, a free, you know, course that you can study. We actually had a handyman over at home the other day, and it was a young Samoan, mm-hmm. young Samoan, lovely man, and he was speaking about how he loves his jobs. He loves working with his hands. You know, he's on good money.
Yeah. Well, anyone who's paid for a handyman would know they must be on good money.
Yeah, exactly. I hear that, you know, the majority of people on Moraitai, is it Moraitai Drive, are tradespeople.
Wow.
So it's a very well-paid job, and you can make it into your own business, and you can study for free.
Yeah. You know, I was in, I spent a couple of years in London, not exactly on a visa, kind of living undercover. But anyway, when I was working, sort of doing construction, the lines between kind of blue collar and white collar or office workers was really quite thin when it comes in terms of pay rates. Like the guy kind of in the overalls cruising down the street was making just as much money as the banker in his City of London office. So it was really quite an open eye-opener for me. Personally, I'm pretty terrible with my hands, so rather than chop them off with saws or drill.
Can you hold a hammer?
I'm terrible with the hammer. I'd probably just ask Christina for her handyman's number.
Some work to do.
Yeah, but for everyone else, you know, 16 to 40, I really like what Sam was saying about how females are valued appropriately or better than perhaps they used to be. And you can see why. I think every workplace wants to address the, the gender disparity issues that do come up. You can't have all men on a site or even all women because I think that, you know, there are problems that do come up, but by trying to level out that gender disparity, I think they're onto a good thing. And the best thing is, if you're a female, it sounds like you're in very high demand, and why not? Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it says here that 23% of the Māori and Pasifika trades training, all trainees were women. And the organisation is really supportive. They're really keen to see that rise to 40% in the next 4 years. So, ladies, there's a great opportunity for you if this is something you'll be interested in.
And some of the trades, I'll just read them out. Building and construction, electrical trades, automotive technology, welding and fabrication, plumbing and gas fitting, furniture and cabinet making. And as we all know, there's a whole bunch of work that's meant to be coming online around the Auckland region. You know, we all know that we need more houses to be built. But actually, we need people to build those houses. So
exactly,
this initiative, is focused on satisfying that demand, that huge demand that we have. And as Sam said, I mean, if 17% of Pacific are unemployed, then perhaps, you know, this is a way out of that unemployment trap.
Exactly, and there's definitely a real need. I just finished renovating my place, and we had a lot of work for tradespeople, and it was quite hard to, you know, they're often busy, and it's weird, you know, it's not that cheap as well. So
I was just going to ask about the rates.
Yeah.
So it's really a tradie or a seller's market at the moment, eh?
Exactly. There's plenty of opportunity. It's a skill that you can take anywhere that you can use for the rest of your life. You could build your own dream home. You know, you could do your own plumbing, your own electricity.
Mm. Speaking of skills, Christina, I did want to, finish off our time by talking a bit about what you're, what you're up to at the moment for, with your role as the Miss Samoa New Zealand. When does that officially come to a close?
So generally around July, August will be when the next pageant is. And this year, the Miss Samoa New Zealand pageant celebrates 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was the 24th Miss Samoa New Zealand.
Awesome.
And I've just been busy with so many projects and just doing what I can to support my community.
What did you do this morning?
I did do a bit of a TV ad.
Are you allowed to talk about?
I'm not quite sure. I did do a bit of a TV ad that you can look out for. I think it's coming on in May, 1st of May. And it's a really, really important issue in our community, domestic violence.
Wow.
So, please look out for that one. Today I've got a bit of work with the youth advisory group that I'm on with LeVar. So me and a number of other young Pacific leaders have joined forces with the senior team at LeVar, and we've created this amazing conference. You know, we've got Sunny Bill Wool coming. We've got Tawhinga. We've got so many, incredible and lovely speakers.
My good friend Buckwheat.
Buckwheat's coming. Yes.
Awesome.
So that's happening.
Are we coming?
Get your tickets. It is coming up really soon.
And where can people get their tickets? Is there a website?
Yeah, so it's at LeVar. I think that's www.levar.org.nz. I think
LEVA.org.nz.
Or you could just Google it.
Mm.
So that's happening on the 21st and 22nd. And I'll be there. I'll be in the mental health and addiction stream, sharing my journey, sharing my story, offering my hope and recovery, as well as doing a bit of Siva Samoa to open up the dance floor.
Fantastic.
And also I've got another event coming up in May. That's going to happen on the 26th of May, and it will be a bit of a fashion show and fundraiser for Fiji.
Awesome.
So I'm really glad to be there and to support Fiji at this time.
Yeah, any more details around that? Can people buy tickets now? What's the story?
I think you'd have to go on the MENA website. So
That's MENA?
Yep, MENA. And I think from there they'll be able to, there might be a link. It's quite early days, so I'm not too sure what the final details are. But try MENA and Fiji fundraiser. I better practice my catwalk for the next month.
and please, let's throw in a plug for the free Zumba that you run every week.
Exactly. Thank you. So every week I run a free Zumba. So that means every week I'm also practicing at home and learning new choreography for you. Oh. So it's 6 p.m. every Thursday. Yes. It's situated behind the big Seventh-day Adventist Church on Pohonui Road, Papatoa.
What's the address?
Oh, it's 16 Pohonui Road. Yes. So it's behind there. It's down the long left driveway. You'll hear the you know, it's free. It's for all abilities, all levels.
You have to go, Joseph.
Well, maybe I'll send down my research team, Fale, and maybe.
She's been there.
Of course. Then I have to go?
Yes, you have to go.
Yeah, look, I'll make sure I come past, because
there's a gate there, look, yeah.
Oh, I can't remember what I was thinking about. I was trying to be funny because there's a fast food restaurant across BK.
BK. I'm
trying to get my directions. And but I completely lost my train of thought. Sorry about that. So what else are you up to? Anything else on the agenda as the current Miss Samoa New Zealand?
I'm just doing everything I can to support things that are happening in our community. Like today, this morning, you know, I was doing the TV air. This afternoon, I'll be working until 9 p.m. for the conference. Next week, I'll be at the conference. And I also work full time as well. And, you know, there's other things I need to do at home, like look after my family and that.
Yeah,
and also myself.
And you've got cats as well, I believe?
Yeah, I've got a cat.
Yeah, sorry, cat. Yeah. How's the cat doing? Got hit?
The poor kitty got hit by a car, but she's okay. She's just got a short tail now. That's what happens when you play on the road.
You
know how...
No, that's okay. She's fine.
You sound so busy. Everybody sounds so busy.
Yeah.
Now, you know, because we talk about good health
exactly.
and well-being, what... are we doing in the way of actually looking after self first, you know, so that we maintain that good health and well-being mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually? Yeah, that's, I sort of just remind ourselves because we can carry it away, you know, getting so busy.
And you know, this island thing of not being able to say N-O, it's always, okay. Yeah. And you know, and the list gets longer. But you're right. We can kind of get lost in the being busy and forget that our own health might be suffering.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, we could not be a burden, but you know, we could make in our rush to make things better, we could make things worse, kind of for ourselves and everyone else. So just be
and
aware.
We need to walk the talk of staying healthy.
Yeah.
And I believe there's some good events coming up. With promoting that right now at this time is talking about stroke awareness.
Yes. Yeah. I saw something, I think it was Tangata Pacifica, about stroke awareness. We had Tai Whaalongo, who's the Pacific Stroke Prevention Leader, in the studio about a month ago, talking about... let's see if we can still remember FAST.
Yeah.
There's an acronym, FAST, which is meant to help people kind of remember the signs to look out for a stroke. The first is face. Yeah. If one side of the face is drooping, that's a telltale sign. Arms, if one arm or one side is drooping as well, that's another telltale sign. Speech, I think, is the S. If that's slurred, then Ty will be so proud of me.
Yes.
And the T is time.
Mm-hmm.
We need to kind of get in touch with, get them some medical help straight away. Mm-hmm. Time is of the essence. And as it's been described to me, the stroke is a brain attack, like a heart attack attacks the heart. The stroke attacks the brain.
So all that is important that we remember, especially, looking after ourselves.
And apparently, Ty's been so successful, or the whole stroke initiative has been so successful that there has been a raised awareness of people who know those the acronym FAST.
Mm.
So thanks, Ty. You're doing a fantastic job.
Yes, she is.
And just great that people are aware and can actually get help for their loved ones quicker.
The other thing also that it needs to be regularly reminding to our community, also it's happening this month, is immunization, especially now we're going into the cold weather.
You know, there's... there's a whole schedule of immunization shots for babies when they're born at different time periods, and it's crucial that for the child or the baby and the child's health that they get those shots on time. What the immunization does, as it's been explained to me, is it just there's all these bugs that are floating around there, and the immunization just makes. Makes it harder for those bugs to take hold, or impossible for those bugs to kind of take hold and really affect people. And, you know, there are people who think that, you know, the state is messing around with their bodies or their kids' bodies around immunization, but as health professionals, we have to say, no, don't listen to that. Get your children immunized so that they'll live healthy and productive lives.
So, the more you remind our listeners about all these health issues, you know, the more that we can support and help each other.
Oh, and sorry, I forgot a very important add-on in terms of immunizations is the flu jabs, which
are
already available, I believe. They're free for over 65s, I believe, and free for other groups of people. I think if you have you know, if you have a chronic or long-term health condition like diabetes or high blood pressure or asthma, that you could have a free flu shot. So the best thing to do is call up your doctor and just check whether you're eligible for one. But even if you're not eligible, do yourself a favor and just get it done. Save yourself getting sick, and the flu, the vaccine, as it's been explained to me, is it's a combination of the most prevalent or the strains of flu that are flying around at the moment that could have a huge impact on your health. They kind of package those up and use that for the vaccination. But you can still get sick. It doesn't protect you from all flu viruses. It's just the big ones that really do harm that they protect you from.
And also with our World Child Check, you know how you take the children, take advantage of, you know, the free check with the children. Because that's why they call it Health Child Check. You don't have to wait until the child is sick, right?
Yes,
just take them to the doctor at any time just to do a health check.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, East Tamaki Healthcare provides free visits for enrolled patients under 18, until they're 18. But also, we're not the only provider that does that. You know, shop around if price is a factor for you. And look for the place where you can get your child checked as often as you need to get them checked. Their health is paramount or most important.
Would you like to give out that website again for the pre training? You know, the
Thanks, Fanny. www.maori Pacifica Pacifica. Trades, trades,
.co.nz.
That's the one. Or just Google Māori Pacific Trades, and I'm sure you'll get close. But yeah, just we'd like to encourage anyone who's maybe sitting at home or even looking for a second career or even looking to start a business, take advantage of these initiatives while they're there, because they won't be there forever.
Exactly.
From Te Ama Pacifica House to our beautiful listeners, and we'll see you again next week, same time, same place. And God bless you all.
God bless.
God bless.